So how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good. How are you?
All right. I thought I'd try something maybe, or we would try something a little bit different, and that is that a lot of people, when, don't know, like, generally we talk for like 20, 30 minutes before we start recording these episodes.
We do.
And oftentimes that conversation is just as interesting as what we end up recording, and so why not record it? Why not just shoot the breeze for about 20 minutes here like we always do and record it and put it up as an episode?
Cool.
So how you been?
I've been good. How are you?
Kind of overwhelmed by but in a good way. The response I got back from from the episode that went up today as we record Tuesday, and I previewed on Friday about my struggles with depression and such.
It was episode 14.
Just tremendous feedback. Just people really coming out of the woodwork to thank me, to share their stories and experiences, and to let me know how much it helped. And it's just so humbling, right?
It was a powerful episode.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a little bit overwhelmed by that, and just, been lately just kind of thinking about stories in general, and how, the favorite things I write about and do are, when I, take the time to tell a personal story, as opposed to make a point or, write about some, piece of software or something like that, So...
How much harder do you find it to write something like that?
Actually, I find it quite a bit easier to write something like that. Yeah. I think in a way, today I posted on my personal site on patrickroan.com, maybe a half hour before I hopped on here with you, a piece about climbing. That everything I write kind of makes a point, but this particular piece about climbing was like, it was basically a true story, a personal story, happened to me about I used to do a fair amount of rock climbing as a young man, my teenage years, and there was this one kid who had worked really hard to overcome a fear of heights. And, and how I was belaying him one time, and doing, a top belay. Are you familiar with climbing at all?
Not with ropes.
Okay. All right.
No, that sounds pretty crazy. I mean, I've done bouldering.
Yes.
I've done a bit of bouldering, which is sort of where you go from side to side really, and without rope.
Yeah.
But I've never really climbed with rope.
Yeah. Well, And that's the thing. By the way, did I ever tell you? So, and this is completely side topic, but that's what all of our, this is how all of our conversations go.
Yeah.
The young lady, the young British lady who takes care of our daughter during the day, she's a very avid rock climber.
Hmm.
And actually has taught Beatrix, or is teaching Beatrix how to climb.
Climbing. Wow.
She actually built an inverted rock wall over her bedroom bed, not only so that she can practice moves and holds herself, but so that her son and Beatrix can climb up this inverted wall and fall on backwards onto the bed.
Jesus. He's clearly the most responsible babysitter known to man.
It's just insane. And I have no problem, no fear whatsoever of her letting my daughter do this crazy crap. I would not be surprised if Beatrix grows up to climb. In any case, so yeah, climbing with ropes and stuff like that. And belaying is basically a system where one climber Basically through a tension and friction system, protects the climber. You know, one person is belaying, the other person is climbing, and as that person climbs, the belayer is able to pull up the slack, and if the person climbing loses their grip and falls, they won't fall very far. You can basically lock the rope. The belayer can lock the rope so the climber doesn't fall more than 3 feet. Now you can self belay using pins in the rock yourself or whatever, but generally when I think of belaying, it's a two person system. In any case, this guy was climbing and had a fear of heights, and there's a call and response system of that really is. It's essential. Basically, the person who is climbing, says belaying, and the person who's belaying says belay on, and then the person who's climbing says climbing, and the climb doesn't begin until the belayer says climb on, i.e. I got it, I've checked all my ropes, I've checked my tension, I've checked the slack, everything is in place for you to be able to safely climb the rock. You can now climb.
Okay.
And of course, for one reason or another, he started climbing without hearing me say climb on, because I never said it, because I never heard him say climbing. And I figured, oh, he was adjusting something down at the bottom or whatever. He got up for what I was told about 10 or 15 feet. I was top belaying, so I couldn't see him. I was actually up on top of the cliff.
Oh, right, okay. That makes sense.
And, of course, he ended up falling off the rock and not climbing again. But, so basically...
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow, I haven't read the post yet, so that hit me.
Now, he only fell about 10 or 15 feet, but still...
He was going to say he was dead.
No.
I was like, well, he didn't climb again. He didn't do nothing
no,
again.
No.
Wow.
No,
okay, no. Good.
If he would have died, I would have been a real mess. As a teenager, that's where that mania and depression really would have kicked in and done me in. But
yeah, man.
Yeah, so he was, he fell, and all of the confidence that he had built up getting over his fear of heights was in that one single fall completely shattered. I don't know if he ever recovered from it. At least he didn't, as long as I knew him, which... it admittedly wasn't, isn't till today, but I know him for about a year or two after, and he didn't climb. So, it's one of those things that heavily affected me and really, really made an impression on me, in a very formative way.
Did he blame you?
No, I don't think he I don't think he blamed me. I think he knew after kind of, after getting up and getting unshaken, he kind of went through the steps and realized, it was obvious there was some confusion at the bottom of the rock about whether or not I said climb on. He clearly said climbing. And he clearly thought he had heard me say climb on. But that thought was bolstered by him saying, is he going to say climb on? I haven't heard anything, da, 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 and talking with other people who were around. Because it wasn't just me and him. There were other climbers and such. We were part of a group, and they were down at the bottom of the rock, too. And I think that there was some consensus of, well, maybe he said climbing, and we didn't hear it, or maybe they heard it, and it was an echo, or whatever. But there was some consensus that gave him the confidence that I actually said climb on, and for him to begin climbing. Now, in a system of trust, that shouldn't have happened, right? Like, he should have gotten 10, 15 feet up the rock, realized that there was no slack or there was plenty of slack in the rope, and realized at that point that something was wrong. And so should everybody there at the bottom, including the much more experienced climbers. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so you would know because you'd be pulling the rope. So if there's no slack, that means you're not pulling the rope.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah. That means that for whatever reason, I'm not doing my job up top. And at that point, you know, the climb should stop. I mean, there are several points in that system that failed. And quite frankly, the system is designed so that nothing can happen if the communication is clear.
Right.
And so the moment that you bring guesswork into it, like, oh, I think he might have said climb on. I think he might have said climb. You know, no. You either know I said climb on or you don't climb. It's that plain and simple. If there's any question, well, you know, send someone more experienced up or take the trail up around to the top of the rock where I had set myself up and say, is there a problem? Because he's down there. He said climbing and you never said climb on, you know. Is there something I can help with or what have you? You know what I mean? Like, there were several safety checks in place that just weren't performed. So, you know, so I don't think ultimately he blamed me, but... But still, I don't know if I've ever really forgiven myself, despite the fact that none of it was my fault, you know?
Because you think, oh, there's like 100,000 things that you think to yourself, there's like 100,000 things I could have done differently.
Yeah.
When really, there probably wasn't anything you could have done differently. Because there's only one thing you needed to do. You did that thing.
Yep.
But it still happened anyway.
Yeah.
So I know you too well, so I know that there's a metaphor in here.
Well, I don't know if there's a metaphor as much as, well, you know, I guess the metaphor that I was making in the post or the, you know, point I was making in the post was that whenever you're working the edges and really kind of putting yourself out there, you know, in a lot of ways I did that with the episode 14.
Hmm.
You know, that was me really putting myself out there and working an edge and taking a big risk, at least, you know, for me personally and internally, I saw it as one. And that you can't really do that without the support of others, you know. And even like, you know, after we recorded it, you were all like, you know, hey, if at any time... before I post this, you say you're not comfortable with it or that you feel like you've shared too much because you've taken a big risk here, just let me know and we can pull it. We don't have to do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because as I said to you, I didn't want you to remember that you weren't just talking to me.
Right. Yeah. And that's exactly it, right? In the same way that me saying climb on wasn't just talking to that climber. It was, you know, everyone down at the bottom of that rock who was there to support the climber.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah. See, I knew there's always an answer. So it's like, really, I mean, because I suppose that type of climbing is all about trust. But yeah. In that, there's still got to be parameters.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He trusted you because he thought he heard you. So he started climbing, and even though there were signs that were saying to him, I'm not being helped here, he still trusted you.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, there's got to be some sort of parameters, there's got to be some sort of rules that we stick to. Is that the kind of thing you...
Yeah, yeah, and that we also need support.
Yeah.
And clear communication with those supporting us.
That's, right. Yeah, the communication. That's it. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Because if things were clearly communicated, then there would have been no problem.
Right.
If you had a walkie-talkie, no problem.
Exactly.
Because when you're shouting down the side of a mountain, you know, there's a lot of things that can go wrong.
Right. And how often in life do we find ourselves out on an edge without a walkie-talkie shouting down the side of a mountain? I would say that metaphorically, all the time.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. How much is Twitter out on the edge shouting down the side of a mountain in some
ways?
That's
exactly what it is. Well, you're on the edge shouting down the side of a timeline. That's effectively what you're doing.
Yeah. you know,
with a dick bar above you.
What do you? I see. I don't know what this is all about because I abandoned Twitter for iPhone. Well, when it became Twitter for iPhone, you know, I was a tweety guy, but you know, when that all got sold off, went to Twitter and stuff like that, I was like, oh, forget this. I know what this means.
Yeah, it was only going one way. I mean, I haven't used Twitter for iPhone for a while either. I use a more powerful client. It's not as clean and stuff. I use Icebird, which I think is more powerful.
Yeah.
It has some features that I really like.
Now, that's the one that's got kind of a like clean, minimalist interface too, right?
That's called Wheat. But I don't even know what happened to that. I don't use it anymore. Icebird, it's I don't know. It's not as overkill as some others that you see, but it's quite minimalist. It's not like I've seen some that are just ridiculous. But yeah, I think it was inevitable that something like this would happen because I think people still think of Twitter for iPhone as Tweety. Well, it's not. It is like the Facebook application. This is the Twitter application. Yeah. It is made by Twitter. All choices that Lauren Brichton makes has to go through the marketing department. Or the marketing department are making, you know, or the advertising department are making choices for him.
It's not his
decision anymore.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what got to me. Especially after I saw the very first, you know, post-Twitter revision of Tweety, was it suddenly became apparent that, oh, I get it. It's no longer the vision of a single designer. It is now designed by committee.
Yeah, no, exactly. But don't get me wrong, I'm not defending it. I still think it's... Have you actually seen it? Like, have you downloaded it?
No.
It is a horrible, horrible user interface design. Terrible. I mean, it's just it's inconsistent, which is the problem. So, for example, it's always at the top of the screen above the search bar.
Okay.
But if you go into your at replies and then go into your timeline, even if your timeline is not at the top, it appears translucent over your tweets. So over the top tweet, it will cover that.
Oh, my God.
Terrible, man. And sometimes sometimes you'll be at the top and scroll down, and it will like appear for a second and then go away, which is a bug. It's been released with so many bugs as well. My better half, she's not been able to use it. She's had to...
Really?
She's had to delete it.
I mean, crazy. I can't even... It sounds horrible. I'm glad I haven't seen it, because I would be... I'd be so upset.
You would
upset.
Hate it. You
I'd
would
be
hate
so
it.
Upset.
I don't think you'd be able to deal with it. I don't think you'd cope with it very well.
I mean, I get so emotional over software.
Well, everyone does, especially over this. I mean, it might be by the time that this episode's released, they fixed it, because I know Twitter's mobile account, they said that they're listening to feedback, but I think what it's showing is that they're not. See this. I can't remember. I think Gruber posted this. It wasn't his, but he posted it. I can't remember who else that said it. We've forgotten that Twitter is a company, and they haven't realized that we. I'm paraphrasing. They haven't realized that we think of it as a utility.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we expect it to be just a service. Like, I wouldn't expect an advert in my text messaging.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Like, I don't expect the messages app on my iPhone to have top messages in the world right now.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think that's the problem with it.
Well, and in a lot of ways, you know, I mean, here's the thing about a service, right? You know, I think people are really kind of struggling, you know, Twitter's trying to struggle with, okay, how do we make money off of this? All right. We've got all these employees now and we've got all this. How are we going to monetize this? And they're still trying to figure that out.
Yep.
And, you know, what they don't, I don't know if they have fully realized that. You know, kind of just like with micro patronage and such like that with, you know, online writers, you know, Sean Blanc is doing his, you know, his membership thing and whatnot. I mean, how many people would happily pay?
Loads. I would.
I mean, seriously, like I would
even
totally
though I don't
pay,
use it.
Yeah. I would totally pay, I don't know, maybe $3 a month. Up to $3 a month, I think.
Oh, you're talking for the service itself?
For the service itself.
I'll pay more than that.
Yeah. I mean, the reason we don't expect advertisements in our SMS is because, well, we pay a monthly fee to our mobile phone company. We expect them to, I don't know, make a profit off of said monthly fee, which they handily do. You know, and so because we are paying them and that's how they are making their money, there's no motivation for them to put advertisements in our SMS stream. And I would argue that if they did, they would have customers dropping them left and right.
Let's just say, right, for Twitter, $5 a month, Twitter Pro, you get fully searchable archived tweet history, which is downloadable into a file choice of your choosing. Could be a feature. Ad free Twitter for iPhone client.
Yeah.
What else could you put in there? I mean, that would probably sell it on its own. And then to have no ads in it.
Yeah.
To eradicate trends. Only see trends of people that you follow. Or trends of a sort of categories you're interested in, because they can categorize stuff, right? Like, if you look at, like, have you ever heard of WeFollow?
Yeah,
it's like a Twitter directory, integrate something like that and just get trends, because trends used to be awesome when it was technology, when it was only people in tech using it,
right?
But now trends are just crap. Charlie Sheen all day.
but it's not crap to those who are interested in what Charlie Sheen is up to, which clearly seems to be, I don't know. I mean, the problem, of course, is that we don't really know what people want anymore, because people don't know what they want. And because people don't know what they want, media gives them tells them what they should want, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about Charlie Sheen and by winning all the time, because, and Justin Bieber and God knows what else, because we don't want to hear about the suffering that's going on in the world. We don't want to hear about and the American attention span I would say the Western attention span, it's not just America, you guys over there, yeah, you guys have it over there on your side of the pond as well. I mean, quite frankly, your tabloids have taken have taken tabloid journalism to whole other levels and taught it back to us, thanks to Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, there are newspapers in this country that aren't readable.
it's obscene how sensationalist they are.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you know this, but for anyone that doesn't, probably our top tabloid paper on page 3 is a topless woman, and it's been like that forever.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's common knowledge in the States.
It's practically an institution, yes. Yeah, the whole reason we come over, to buy your newspapers.
Just to buy the Sun.
That's right.
The Sun is the worst newspaper in this country, in my opinion. They just talk crap all day. Well, I say that, actually. But then there are ones with such ridiculous views. Oh, there's no point going into this. over 3/4 of our listenership don't really care.
Well, no, but I think it's interesting because because that's, don't even get me started. I've got whole conspiracy theories built on the idea that, humanity and more, I would say even more specifically, Americans in general are being purposefully dumbed down, and that it's been a planned attack on our, on our ability to think since the past 30 to 40 years in an effort to keep, to keep those in power because,
of course, man,
the less we have the ability to think, the less we have the ability to see, and the less we have the ability to see,
yep,
the more they can get away with.
Because look what happens. I mean, my younger brother quite rightly said to me a couple of days ago that we are currently, and people will look back at this time as being the age of revolution. Like these years.
Hmm.
I mean, how many revolutions have there been this year?
This year? How about in the past month? I mean, look at what's going on in the Middle East. Look at what's going on in, you know, in Great Britain. You know, I mean, with the education protests that you've had over there. Look at, I mean, the past, I'd say 2 to 3 months have just been, you know, everybody's protesting. Everybody's protesting, you know. And, you know, and every power broker is meeting it with just such fierce resistance. You know, I look at what they, and don't even get me started with the fact that you guys practically live under a police state.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I mean, as wonderful as Great Britain is, and your fantastic parliamentary system that has endured the test of time, God save the Queen, all of that stuff, you have cameras watching you everywhere you go.
Yeah, but at least we're aware of it.
We know
it's happening.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, and that's one thing. I mean. There's so many, I mean, you could speak to conspiracy theorists all day that think that all of your phones are being listened to, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be the same for us as well, but I mean, the cameras, they don't bother us because we know that they're there.
Yeah.
If they hid them, that'd be completely different.
Interesting. That's an interesting thought.
There was this piece of graffiti, which probably you might have heard of. It was just off Oxford Street. And it was just big block letters on the side of a building, and it said "One Nation Under CCTV."
Is that a Banksy piece?
I think that was pre Banksy. I think.
Okay, all right.
Has been around for a long time. Painted off now, though. I think.
Yeah, I mean it's true, and you know, I mean. You have the sort of system of law in Great Britain that allows them to be able to do this and do so under the guise of, you know, keeping calm and carrying on.
Just quickly before the internet will come back at me, it was a Banksy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's April 2008.
I kind of know my Banksy.
Yeah, you clearly do. I have a replica on the wall. I saw a Banksy for real the other day.
Really?
Yeah, when we was in Brighton, it was one of the first times. Is it a Kissing Policeman?
Yeah. Love that one.
Sammy ran a half marathon. I just have to say, congratulations, honey, you did really well.
Yay.
She did a half marathon, so it was 13.2 miles in 2 hours, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So she did a really good job.
Because I'm recording this, I really should point out, dude, Your girlfriend's beautiful.
She is. I did very well.
I've said this before, but you know, I mean, it's one of those things. It's like with me, you know, I look at my wife all the time, and I'm like, why is this smart? I mean, intelligent, hardworking, beautiful woman. Why is she even wasting her time with me? You know, like, how did I luck out? Like, I have to pinch myself every now and then just to make sure I'm not dreaming. I can imagine it's, you know, it's the same for you.
Yeah, I'm a very lucky man.
Mm.
That's, so, you know, take stock of them things in your life, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure she listens to this episode, actually.
She always does. I hope that she always listens to the end, otherwise she's going to miss this bit.
Oh, terrific.
However, I mean, I know we've probably left a bunch of things unanswered because we've been rambling.
No, this rambling is good.
Yeah, I enjoy it. But
I mean, well, like,
if you like this, you know, internet, if you like this, let us know. I mean, if this is the kind of stuff you don't mind us, you know, you don't mind hearing, then, you know, you've always got the Twitter to tell us.
Yeah.
Well, but we've been going for half an hour, so.
Well, yeah, we should probably wrap up and actually record an episode here at some point.
Yeah, probably a good idea. We'll now return you to
your regular programming. Yes.
There you go.
Well, and the other thing, too, is someone actually reached out to me. I promise we're not going to make this too long, but someone reached out to me and said that, you know, I'm not engaging you enough in this thing. And
really?
They're absolutely right, you know?
I don't think so.
I mean, Minimal Mac is kind of my thing, and thus I've kind of been seeing the podcast as kind of, you know, my show, you know, which Mike, you know, kind of helps me out with as mm-hmm. producer and such, but that's wrong. It's what it is.
Really?
I do, and I think it's getting rather boring. I think that people really do want to hear us have these kinds of conversations about whatever the topic is, but it needs to be more of a conversation and less of a, you know, Patrick waxing espousedly about, stupid minimalist crap. You know, I mean, there's so much to talk about, and so much more that interests us and interests my readers, and, you know, we should respect that, and I should do more to work with engaging you. So sorry about that, Mike, and going forward,
nothing to apologize for.
All right. So, all right. Well, we'll talk later, probably on the next episode when we record in a few minutes. So,
yeah, probably.
All right. Take care, sir.
Bye.
Cheers.